A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Nedarim Lamed Ches, Nedarim 38a, pagination is 75. We're about halfway down in the smaller lines, the beginning of the line. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashra Shechinoso, Hashem does not grant his Shechina, his presence, in a personal way, to rest on a person, Ela, except if the person has the following qualities. Al-Gibor, the person is strong. Va'ashir, he's wealthy. Va'chacham, he's wise. Va'anav, and he's humble. And although, as we'll see in a moment, these can be taken also in an ethical sense, but the Gemara initially understands them v'kulan mi Moshe. We learn them from Moshe in a very literal sense. We're talking about a strong, wealthy person. Gibor, how do you know that Moshe was strong? So if you skip 2-3 lines after something that's discussed, the Gemara answers, Dichsiv, V'espos b'shnei aluchos v'ashlichei me'al shtei yodai v'ashabrein. Moshe was holding the luchos, and he ended up throwing them. He had that strength, V'tanya, and we learned, Taluchos arkon shisha v'rachvan shisha v'avyon shlosha. The luchos, the two tablets, were tremendously large and weighty, and for Moshe to have had control of them, to be able to hold them and then throw them, is a significant feat, and he must have been very strong. Even if we assume that everything is miraculous here, but we have an interesting concept that miracles don't generally just happen, so to speak, out of thin air. They happen with some level of the person or the thing being receptive to such greatness. Ashir, how do you know that he was wealthy? So we're told, Psal Lecha, he should carve out the second luchos, and it was out of precious stone. And Psulasan Shalcha Yehei, and the leftovers, what gets carved off, is going to be yours. And as a result, Moshe had gems, and he was very wealthy from the leftovers which Hashem told him to keep. The Mefarshim explain he was wealthy initially as well, but this is what threw it over the top. He was truly so wealthy. Chacham, how do we know wisdom? Ravu Shmuel de Amri Tarvayu, we have a tradition from Rav and Shmuel. Chamishim Sha'ari Vino Nivru'u Ba'olam, there are 50 gates of understanding that were created. V'kulam Nitnu L'Moshe Chasar Achas, they were all given to Moshe except for one. Shenemar, as the Pasuk describes, V'tachasreyu Me'at Me'elokim, you were just one level lower than what Hashem offered in this world. And Moshe was that tremendously wise person. Finally, the fourth criteria, Anav, humility, Dechsev, Ish Moshe, Anav Ma'od, Moshe was very humble. These qualities, which are the qualities of a Navi, of a prophet, are mentioned by the Rambam, and I heard from one of my Rabbeim, the Rosh Hashiva and Pesach, that these same qualities are the qualities of acquiring Torah. A person has to be, on some level, have these qualities of Gibor, Asher, Chacham, and Anav. Now, these four qualities, which our Gemara takes quite literally and proves them from Moshe, and in fact, in the next Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan will add, Kol Anavim Ashirim Hayu, all the prophets were wealthy, and examples are given from Moshe and Shmuel, from Yonah. We have a tradition that Yonah offered to pay for the entire ship because he wanted so badly to leave Eretz Yisrael quickly. to have the wealth to pay for the entire ship is pretty significant. And one of the reasons that that has to be is because we need the prophets to be fearless. They have to be independently wealthy. If you have a leader who's not independently wealthy, a Torah leader, or perhaps a prophet, that's especially remarkable, that they did not feel vulnerable and were able to carry the word of God despite their reliance or perceiving themselves reliant on people. And that really segues us into the awareness that these words can also be defined on an ethical level. There's a famous Mishnah in Avos in the fourth perek, in the name of Ben Zoma, Ezehu Chacham, what's considered a Chacham, Halomid Mikol Adam, a person who learns from everyone. Ezehu Gibor, who's considered strong, and it's not taken in a physical strength, it's considered a physical sense. It's Hakovish Es Yitzro, a person who conquers his Yetzahara, the inner battle. Ezehu Asher, who's considered wealthy. Hasameach Bechelko, someone who's happy with his lot, and he defines wealth. He looks at what he has, and he says, wow, I have this. The classic comment is that if a person has a car, if he lived 200 years ago, he would have been considered a multimillionaire. The fact that my neighbor also has a car does not detract from my blessing and my wealth. So it's all in perspective. And the fourth quality, which seems to correlate as well, Ezehu Mechubad, who's considered honorable, HaMechabed Es Abrio, someone who honors other people. And that would seem to correlate to the theme of humility. Humility is the awareness of a person's talent, but also the awareness that that talent was given by Hashem, and it comes with responsibility. And my responsibility to other people, to the world, to myself, to Hashem, to Torah, is the core of humility. I like to ask, when you see a fire engine rushing down the street with its sirens going and everybody moves to the side, or similarly an ambulance, so we think of the people in the fire truck or in the ambulance as the heroes. Everybody's getting out of their way. But if you think about it, what's causing them their greatness? What's making them heroes is some unfortunate person somewhere who's in a pathetic state, perhaps trapped or perhaps fallen over, faint. That person in the pathetic state is really the hero for which we are mobilizing society and asking everybody to get out of the way of the ambulance or fire engine because we're trying to save that person. And the honor that's given to these emergency service people is really being given to them because they are on their way to utilize their talents in the salvation of some person. And that's an expression of you're honoring somebody else. You're taking your talents. It's an act of humility to take your talents and recognize responsibility. Also, on the topic of wisdom, ultimately a person is not going to have all the wisdom themselves. A person is going to reach out, as the Mishnah in Avos says, Lomid Mikol Adam, to learn from everybody. The Vilna Gaon, in his commentary to Mishlei, Yud Aleph Yud Dalid, comments, Echad hu levado, when a person's on his own, Eino tov, it's not good. Kisecha lanushi efsha litos, because a person on his own wisdom could make a mistake. And the Gaon recommends what we today view as the circle, the group. Rabim sheyisyu atzu, many people should be your advisors, And then what the leader does is he learns from each one, he gains perspective, and then Yira Kala Eitza Shel Kulam V'Yivarer. He should see the advice of everybody, and then he should choose. The final statement of the Gemara, V'Omer Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan says that even after you have all these qualities, or if you didn't have these qualities, but you grew in confidence, you weren't particularly wealthy, but you recognized that everything comes from Hashem, so you were able to have the asset equivalent of wealth, that you were not beholden to other people, and the same with strength, to recognize that Hashem runs the world, but at the end, even if you have all the qualities, B'tchila ya Moshe lome Torah u'meshakcha, Moshe used to study Torah and he would forget it, at shenitna lo b'matana, until it was given to him as a gift. And ultimately, even though we have specific qualities that are to be found in the person who succeeds as a Navi, as a Chacham, as a leader, but ultimately, all we are doing is making ourselves ready to be gifted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because ultimately, success and attainment of Torah, etc., is all a gift. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.